My name is Gerald Riley, and I have the honor today to host Sunday Conversations. And to my right, my co-host, my beautiful wife, Katasha Riley. Say something, please, Ms. Riley.
Good morning, everyone.
That's not enough. But anyway, listen, we have a very, very exciting day today, and we're talking about a subject that is near and dear to our hearts. Today's conversation is entitled Blended Families. Now, I say that Jesus, he set a standard with blended families because Joseph was not Jesus' biological father. And so I believe that God knew since the beginning of time that blended families would be an issue in today's world. And so today we have a very, very special guest this morning. So ladies and gentlemen of David Broadcasting, could you please welcome my good friend, the amazing woman, Akilah Bronson. Say something, Ms. Akilah Bronson.
Well, thank you. That was a great introduction. I was looking around like, who is she talking about? It's me.
The amazing Akilah Bronson. That's who we're talking about. Now, before we dive into this sensitive and unique subject, blended families, Akilah, please tell our listeners in the audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Akilah Brunson. I work here locally at the television station Fox 54.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here like all of my life, and I have three children total, and my husband and I have been married for almost 4 years, and we do a lot of work in the community with different organizations, and we are like team cheerleaders for Columbus.
Awesome, 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 awesome. Listen up. A little information before we get started. According to the United States Census Bureau, 40% of Americans are living or have lived in a blended family. Wow, wow. That is a large number. I'm going to say that again.
It is.
According to the United States Census Bureau, 40% of Americans are living or have lived in a blended family. That's nearly half of America who are living in a blended family. Man, that is amazing.
I mean, it sounds accurate.
Yes, that is amazing. So that means about half of our listening audience today are experiencing a blended family atmosphere. Listen up. So audience and our special guests, let's go ahead and dive into our subject today. Just in case you just tuned in to David Broadcasting, we're talking about blended families. And so I want to start off with a couple of simple questions for you, Ms. Akilah Copeland. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Awesome. Now, Ms. Copeland, Ms. Akilah, do you have a blended family? And how long have you been living in a blended family?
Well, we absolutely have a blended family.
Awesome.
I had two children before I got married, and then my husband had one, so we have three total.
Uh-huh.
So whenever people ask either one of us how many kids we have, we just say three. I mean,
that's the right answer.
That's how many kids we have.
That is the right answer.
Three kids.
Okay.
So yeah, we have a blended family, and we've been married now for almost 4 years. So.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I'm sure it's been awesome. Well, listen, according to the dictionary, a blended family is a family consisting of two or more adults and their children together with children from previous relationships. That's the definition of a blended family. And so I really want to dive into the meat of having a blended family. So my first question, Ms. Akilah, what is the most difficult part about co-parenting in a blended family?
Well, actually, Riley, and I hope my children don't hear this, but my bonus son, my son is not my biological son.
Okay.
So his demeanor is that so of my own kids.
Uh-huh.
But I tell people all the time that he is a nicer kid than my two girls.
Wow.
Yeah, he's nicer than them.
So the bonus child is a nicer child than the biological child.
I have two daughters who are absolute divas, ages 7 and 16.
Okay.
My son's right in the middle at 15, and I can tell him to do something one time and it's done. The girls, on the other hand, you know, they got mouths.
Wow, so Akilah, even though you're living in a blended family, it's not the bonus child or the stepchild that is the most challenging in your blended family.
Right, it's my own kids.
Wow.
And then it's not that, you know, they're bad kids or anything. They're all really sweet and easy to deal with. It's just that they're all three brats. My girls are more spoiled than my son.
Wow. So, you know, you just gave me a segue to my next question. How do you settle disputes between the children in a blended family?
Disputes. So, really, the biggest dispute that they may have is, I haven't really seen many disputes between the children.
Awesome. Well,
because my oldest, she runs all of the other kids. So, she's in charge. Whether we leave her in charge or not, she's always in charge. She bosses them around, and she tells them what to do and how it's going to be done. So they always look to her.
Wow. So, Akilah, it seemed to me that you have a very great and unique situation in your blended family. But I'm here with my co-host, Miss Katasha Riley. And now, Miss Katasha Riley, do you have a blended family also?
Yes, I'm looking at the blended family.
Oh, okay, right on. So how do you handle disputes between the children and the blended family?
I mean, how do you handle disputes between the kids that you have in the house? It's a family, and so they actually just have to learn how to effectively communicate. I remember when we blended our family together, and I didn't hear you say about how many kids that we have, but we actually have a total of 10 kids.
Wow.
In our blended family.
10 kids in our blended family.
Mm-hmm. It's your family. Okay. Why you keep saying wow?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, because he's one of the kids.
I know, right?
He's one of the kids that blends with the children.
Awesome.
And so those kids, when we brung them together, they're so close in age that you know, they had a lot in common, and that's what we were actually, you know, blessed with. But it's other challenges in blended family that people actually have to deal with outside of just the children that affects the children. And so that's more of our story of how, you know, our blended family faced adversities.
Okay. Again, another segue to the next question. Who corrects or disciplines the children in a blended family?
Go ahead, Akilah.
I'm the nice guy. I'm the bad guy on all ends. So I discipline all the kids. But my husband reinforces whatever I say. So I will take all the cell phones. I'll turn off. I'll give my husband the word to turn off all of the internet in the house.
Okay.
And, yeah, I'm the punisher. But he goes back and co-signs whatever I say. Because it's me and him against some kids.
Awesome. I noticed that blended families, they work different in so many ways. They work different. I've seen people that in blended families where it's 50-50. I've seen where the husband dominate. I've seen where the wife dominate. And I've seen where the kids dominate.
Right.
So, you know, being in a blended family is just a very, very unique situation. So, co-host Katasha Riley,
yes.
Who corrects or disciplines the children in your blended family?
Of course, I think that is, I probably do 70 and you do 30.
Okay.
But it was so different with us because we were actually, we weren't military.
Okay.
And we had to adopt Riley's military ways.
Okay.
And the kids being at the age of I think, 9.
Mm-hmm.
What, 14?
Yes.
And 5th, and something like that.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember the exact age because all these kids grown now, praise God. But the kids, my biological kids, they didn't know how to really take Riley with the discipline because it was a different structure of discipline the kids. And so Riley would take the hinges off. The doors off.
Oh.
And he would take the mattress off the bed. He would, if they miss curfew, he would just give them a pillow and let them, you know, build a tent for a couple of hours. You know, things like that. And those kids would never could get used to that. And so my biological kids, you know, thought that it was kind of like a horror story. Now that they are adults with their own children, they have the understanding of how that things work with a blended family and how Riley loved them, but also was just trying to structure the home. And everybody has a different take on that.
The word that I'm hearing during this conversation, Ms. Copeland and Ms. Riley, is an adjustment.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the major. That right, Akilah, is it an adjustment for everyone in the home?
It is an absolute adjustment for everyone in the home. Me having two girls, we were used to just like sleeping in a t-shirt or whatever and walking around because it's all
okay.
Girls.
Okay, yes, yes.
But once we introduced guys into the fold that they were used to just wearing their shorts and no shirt, then everybody had to change. Now, if the guys don't have on the shirt, then my 7-year-old will say that's dangerous. So nobody walks around without a shirt.
I can hear her saying that.
Unless they inside the pool.
Wow. Okay,
because they know Grace will say that is dangerous.
So
it was an absolute adjustment for, you know, how things were. Like, we were all girls, so we know that if the trash needs to be taken out, then we got to take it out. But now we're so used to the guys taking the trash out. If they're not at home or out of town or something and it's us, we still not taking the trash out.
So, Ms. Copeland, you say in your blended family, you've been married 4 years, correct? So how long did it take you to feel comfortable with your husband being around your daughters when you wasn't present in that environment?
Well, before we got married, while we were engaged, I felt okay. So, excuse me. A lot of people don't know this, but my 7-year-old lost her hearing in both ears when she was 4.
Oh, wow.
Maybe like a couple months after we got married. Uh-huh. She had viral meningitis. She was in the hospital for like almost 30 days.
Uh-huh.
In ICU for most of that time, y'all know. And he was there like every day. Like, this was his child that he birthed. And when any of the doctors would come in, her biological dad was there too. But he was jumping up faster than anything, and we had to make a lot of trips to a lot of doctor's appointments in Atlanta. And even when she came home, she didn't really want nobody to touch her hair except for Missy. But now, except for Chris, I mean, she didn't want anybody to bother her except for my husband.
Well, Ms. Copeland, it seemed like Ms. Copeland.
Again. He was the only one who could bring her food or help her eat. So that is her guy.
Well, Ms. Copeland, it seems like that you are a really blessed woman to have such a great blended family. But listen,
because I've seen some different ones out there, and I'm just glad we don't have those issues.
And that brings me to my next question. Why do blended families fail? I'm gonna talk to Ms. Riley first. Why, in your opinion, why do blended families fail in 2022?
I think blended families struggle because of the communication. Effective communication is definitely the gateway to having a successful relationship. And if you all the way across the board understand each other's boundaries, then you can deal with some emotional dislikes. And even with the kids, because a lot of blended families don't make it because of the children. And if you can stick together.
What do you mean because of the children? Elaborate on that statement. What do you mean blended families don't make it because of the children?
I'm trying to be soft and not hard about it.
Okay.
But a lot of times you have situations with outside issues that comes along with your blended family that enters into your home.
Okay.
And if you cannot get a grip on that and establish a foundation of, over here, this is how we handle this, and over there,
okay,
that's how that's handled, okay, then it's going to be a problem.
Hold on to that. Hold on, because we're going to get back to that. Now, Ms. Akilah,
Yeah.
Why do blended families fail?
See, I'm not going to be as diplomatic as
it's okay.
Riley. So, two reasons why is because...
Come on, you got it.
Let me try and be a little diplomatic. One, somebody still wants to date somebody of the parents. They still want to date them. They still in love with them. They still holding on to what...
Okay.
And
okay.
It's not a thing in the other parents' eyes.
Mm.
So, that's one thing. Two... is with that in that same tone, then they're pitching the other parent against, oh, I don't want my kids around anybody that you are dating.
Right.
This is how I feel. I trust anybody that my co-parents, anybody that they date, I trust them to be around my children because I know who the men are that I was dating at those times. I know who the dads are.
Okay.
So I know that they wouldn't want to put our kids in any danger, number one. Number two, they don't want to hear my mouth.
Okay.
I'm gonna put my kids in any type of situation that would, you know, have them have me looking at them or their new partner sideways.
Okay, I'm gonna stop. Let me stop
and
you there.
One more thing, Riley, is the other parent or the parents themselves may not have a hold on their kids as much, like disciplinary wise. So sometimes if the kids are bad, it's all outside, then that put a bad taste in somebody's mouth. It'll make you not even want to date them if their kid's bad.
That is true. Let me stop you right there because, again, I'm going to come back to that. But let me give both of you a scenario in a blended family. Tomorrow is the 4th of July. Okay. Here's the scenario. Okay. Pookie is with his dad for the 4th of July. But he comes to the house with the other kids on the 4th of July. Now, Pookie dad buys him Jordans. He has nice outfits. And Pookie dad gave him $100 to buy fireworks. Mm-hmm. Now, the other three kids in the house, we gave them $10 to buy fireworks. This is a blended family. This happens in a blended family. Pookie dad takes care of him. He gave him $100. We gave the other kids $10. Now, as a blended family, do we allow Pookie to pop $100 worth of fireworks in front of his brothers and sisters who just sitting there with smoke bombs and sparklers? Okay, do we allow that? Or do we make Pookie share with his brothers and sisters? Or do we just allow Pookie to pop smoke bombs and sparkles? Because, you know, I had that situation in the blended family, you know, but I'm not going to talk about it. You know, this is not about me at this moment. And so what do we do in that scenario as a blended family? I'm going to let Ms. Riley go first.
Okay, because this sounds like some math right here.
Yeah,
so you said 100.
Firecrackers.
You said 100 and the other kids. It's three of them.
It's three kids. Pookie has $100.
Oh, this is easy.
And the other two kids have $10.
This is easy.
Okay, talk about it.
Bring mama all the money, and we're going to put it in the collard green pot. That's $130 worth of firecrackers. That solves the problem right there.
I like that.
Okay, but what about Pookie's dad? You know, he gave $100 not to share.
No, Pookie dad is not over here. His rules of not sharing over here don't count. That sharing part goes over there.
Okay.
His house.
Okay. Miss Copeland, do you agree with Miss Riley?
Say this. I don't care if my kid is, if Pookie is at my house or his dad's house, my rules still apply. Everywhere they go.
Okay.
So if dad cannot honor my rules, then he gonna have to get on the board it's my rules or my rules. The reason why is because I don't want to be in a position where when my kid leaves, they have one set of rules, and then when they come back, now I got to retrain them.
Reprogram.
Okay.
So I already had conversations with my kids' fathers as well as with my husband. We do the same thing across the board on every level. If I think one time my 16-year-old, she went with her grandparents on her dad's side for like the weekend, And all the teens, they had on bonnets and, like, pajamas on their way back.
Okay.
That's how we do at our house. You don't go outside with a bonnet on. I don't care if you just going to the car, you know, down to the gas station. That's not a thing. I don't care what the other kids are doing. And then once I conveyed that to her dad, he was like, you're right. You won't do that no more.
Okay, Miss Copeland.
So, yeah, we got to have my rules across the board. It's not no, you know, oh, my rules here. No, it's my rules all the way.
Okay, so in a blended family.
The firecrackers.
Yeah, so.
I'll be mad at me because I'm scared of firecrackers.
I know. So in a blended family, we must establish rules across the board. And it must be clear-cut rules.
Clear communication.
Yes.
Effective communication.
Yes.
So clear-cut rules help to establish the relationship between the non-parent and the parent. Correct?
It does.
Okay, this is
I tell the co-parents all the time that, and they laugh, but it's us against these kids. We got to convey it.
It's definitely us against these kids. And, yeah. I wrote down some of the challenges that people have or face in a blended family. One of the challenges they have are rules, different rules. Mm-hmm. The next challenge they have are cultures, different cultures.
Hmm.
The next challenge they have are different values. I've known a friend that he was raised in a traditional household, mom, dad. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, hold the door. Take your hat off in the house. Those are the values that he was raised in. Okay, he married a young lady that didn't share the same values. They had kids. And so when the kids were with her, their values were different than they were when they were with the young man. And so what that did, that created confusion amongst the kids.
Right.
And so in a blended family, how do we get the same values across the board?
The same values. It's repetition. It is repetition. Our son just moved in with us a little while ago, over the last couple of years. So, I'm sure they were doing things differently at his mom's house as opposed to at our house. But we just have to keep repeating, you know, what it is that we have to do here as opposed to what you did do. And he was coming all the time anyway, so it was kind of easy adjustment for him.
Okay, so your values had a lot to do with repetition.
You got to keep repeating.
Doing the right thing over and over again.
Absolutely.
And you got to give the kids an opportunity, well, the family at whole, to transition. It's like a download. So you really have to give the family and the kids an opportunity to adapt to the environment, the new environment that they are coming into, and the ones, if you have any there, as well, because you have, you know, this is a whole nother topic, but you have some people that get married or they get into a relationship and one of the parents never had children before, other never had children before, and so they don't understand completely about raising children, and so they have to adapt and download as well.
Okay, now what about identity crisis in a blended family? When the children are going through an identity crisis, how do you handle the identity crisis in a blended family? Because I have seen it. I have seen it.
No.
I have seen where the biological child kind of get lost in the sauce with the bonus children. They really don't know their place inside of the house, inside that structure. So how do you deal with that identity crisis inside the blended family?
I'm thinking about, you know, our girls. When they had to blend together, and we had one girl that was actually in the house 24/7, and the others came on the weekend, but she learned that you were there for her 24/7. And when the kids came to visit, she actually, you know, idled down. Mm-hmm. She learned to understand that they needed time spent with you, and then going back to her regular, you know, routine. And so I think sometimes if you just, leave it alone for a minute and just make sure that the situation or the environment is a healthy environment, it'll, you know, almost like a plant.
I like that.
it'll adapt to the soil. If it's good soil, it'll live.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I mean, we haven't really had our identity crisis yet because, you know, we're still in the honeymoon phases with the kids and with the marriage.
Okay.
So, okay.
4 years okay, in honeymoon.
Honeymoon.
So, but we will keep a lookout on that. But all of the kids have their own personalities. They get their own time with each parent. And they're all my favorite when they're around me.
Awesome.
And when others go upstairs, they're all my favorite.
Okay, and the last and final question, which is really the elephant in the room. In a blended family, how do you deal with the baby mamas and the baby daddies telling the kids, you don't have to listen to them, that's not your mother, that's not your father? How do we deal with it in a blended family? That's the elephant in the room. How do we deal with
it? Right. Okay, so I haven't had that because, like I said, you know, it's my rules or it's just my rules. But I can say if my son even looked like he want to do something or say something like that, mama would probably hurt him. No, probably. She would drive him here and definitely hurt him.
Okay.
Because she don't play. We on the same mindset and the same method of thinking that, okay, that's your mama while you in the house with her.
Okay, you on the same page with the baby mama.
Same page. That's your okay. baby while you in the house with them.
What about you, Katasha Ryder? How do you deal with it?
It was like frozen in here. Even though our kids are grown now, we went through a lot of trials and tribulations with that, and it really wasn't the kids. And so sometimes when the kids are influenced or they have to actually, I want to say sometimes kids have to be loyal, you know, to the main primary parent or whatever. You have to understand that child, and some of that stuff you just have to deal with out of love and continue to love so that it could create the most healthiest environment possible. And everybody, you know, can't hold their peace, you know, with that kind of situation. But I believe in our relationships that you got to learn how to study your assignment. And if those kids are your assignment, then study them and learn how to love them.
Awesome. I would like to thank our special guests, Akilah Copeland and Miss Katasha Riley. My name is Gerald G. Rat Riley, and this has been Sunday Conversation.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.